Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, if you were listening to the show last week, you might remember I had a chat with Connor Harris, who actually became addicted to cocaine just after one try when he was 17 years of age. Just a little reminder of that chat. Here we go.
So when the first time I ever took it was at graduation. So, you know, I was drinking and obviously I was quite drunk. And then, you know, a friend of mine I know had it and I was like, let me try it. And it was pure out of just experimentation. You know, I just said, you know what, I'll do it, I'll try it. And, you know, straight away I fell in love with it. I was like, Jesus, I want more. And, you know, that night, my very first night of doing it resulted in me getting kicked out of the place where the graduation was and not being allowed back in. And straight away there was a connection there between me and the drug that was going to lead me to bad places if I didn't, you know, watch what I was doing or if I didn't stop taking it.
If you want to catch that full chat, you can check out our podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search Jennifer Zamparelli. But after we did that on air, so many of you got in touch on 51552 asking if Connor's story and stories like his can be brought into the classroom. So teenagers who might be thinking about trying drugs just can be made aware of these kind of dangers. I am delighted to welcome back onto the show a young Cork woman who is actually being honoured with a Pride of Cork Award for her incredible work in educating thousands of teens across Ireland on drug misuse. In January 2016, Nicole Ryan's brother died when he took a synthetic drug at a house party. Nicole channeled her grief into something extraordinary and is actually on the line now to remind us of her story and how it actually shaped her career choice. Nicole, you're very welcome back. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Jennifer. Lovely to be here.
Lovely to have you. First of all, congratulations on your Pride of Cork Award. Such an amazing achievement. Can you remind listeners about your work?
Of course. I do Alex's Adventure. So it's a company that educates young people about drugs, safety, CPR, overdose, all of that kind of stuff that they really need to know, because it's something that is very prevalent in their lives, unfortunately. And so basically I go around schools, I give a talk, I do a workshop with them, and I share my brother's story with them as well.
And just to remind people of your brother's story, in January 2016, he went to a house party. What happened?
He went to a house party with a couple of people. They tried a substance, what they thought was 2CP, which is kind of a lesser, the 2C family of synthetic psychedelics. What it ended up being was the N-bomb. So my brother ended up having a cardiac arrest. He was brought into CUH. He was in a coma. And unfortunately, 4 days later, he never regained consciousness. So he died.
It's just awful what your family have been through. What was going through your head when you got that call?
Genuinely, it was one of those scenarios that, you know, like you think about what way you react in a situation like that. Not necessarily that, but, you know, if I ever got bad news about my brother, I always was like, OK, these are the things that I'm going to do. But when I got that call, it was shock. I just did normal things because I was on the ship at the time. So I went down to the engine room. I had the morning briefing with the lads, and then I just said, you know, I better call my mum back, and she was on the way to the CUH. So I said I had to get off the ship, and I was just, I knew ICU meant serious and critical. So it took me 2.5 hours to get from Rosslare to Cork. And the whole time I was like, God, please, like, let him be okay. Can I see him? I hope he doesn't die. And then when I got to, you know, the waiting room, the 1 o'clock news was on RTE and my brother's face was on it, and I just thought, oh my God, what is he doing on the news? What happened?
Alex's Ventures was born out of this, as you mentioned there. But something very important you said earlier on there, you said you go around schools and you educate about CPR and the types of drugs. I mean, it's not a very preachy thing. Like, it's not a don't do drugs, kids kind of approach you take. You provide them with skills and knowledge. Can you just tell us more about that?
Yeah, I'm very against the don't do drugs motto. I'm more towards harm reduction, and harm reduction can come in various different ways. Education is just one means. And I basically, you know, give them information about the drugs that they might encounter, how they act, how they react, how they might feel if they use them, and the dangers associated with them. And then also giving them practical advice, like what to do in an overdose, because on the night of my brother's death, nobody performed CPR on him, and it could have prolonged his life, maybe saved him. Anything could have happened if somebody had done something. So it's a skill that young people tend to not know, because they associate CPR with like heart attack, or, you know, you just drop down or something like that. Whereas in an overdose situation, you would use CPR as well.
If something like this, like Alex's adventures, had been in schools prior to him going to that house party, I mean, honestly, it could have, would have saved his life.
Exactly. It had the potential. It was the education that I never had, that he never had, and that I wish was there.
That we never had, that a lot of kids in this country never have. And that's why it's so important to do. When you go into schools and you do these talks and you talk to these thousands of teens about harm reduction, taking drugs, and you go through it, what kind of reaction are you met with?
It's always a phenomenal reaction. Like, you have to remember, these are like 15, 14, you know, 16 year olds. They take the time to come up and talk to me. Sometimes they like stand up in the middle of class and they share their own personal stories, you know, their family members and things. Like, it's phenomenal. Every time it's phenomenal. It always puts goosebumps on my, you know, arms, because they reach out and they say, you know, this is something that has helped me. I never realized some of the things that we talked about today. And thank you, you will save my life in the future. So it's incredible.
How important are stories like Alex's and also Connor Harris's story to share with teenagers?
Remarkable, because it's an insight and a perspective into what it really is like. When I share Alex's story, I'm telling them and I'm making sure that they know that this may not happen to you. You know, you may have a completely different outcome, but this is what could happen. Like, this is the worst case scenario. And unfortunately, it happened to me. Whereas, you know, Connor Harris's story, which is phenomenal. I've talked to him myself. He was, you know, he really did the work himself. He pulled himself through and he was lucky. It was just, you know, sheer luck.
He was lucky. Yeah. Absolutely. You've begun studying again in addiction studies.
Yeah, I'm graduating, finished. I'm practicing. I started
My God.
Yeah, I started my own therapy practice.
And how does that feel?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Like, I'm working in a different capacity with people who are in active addiction, different stages of change and different stages of addiction, and just seeing where people are at is such an eye opener. It's just, you know, it's not black and white. There's so much gray area. And like, I went on a heroin street run with, I don't know if you know Frank Horgan, he does the needle exchange down in Cork. And we basically went up around to where people were, you know, shooting up heroin. And we met some of the people that were actually shooting up and they let us watch. And as I stood there, you know, we were chatting to these young lads and they were very young, like they were about my age, maybe 28, 27. And one of the most heartbreaking things that I heard one of them say was, you know, he was like, oh, how are things? And, you know, your man, his name is also Frank. He turned around and he was like, oh, you know, things could be better, but I'm going to prison soon. So it gives me a break. And like, he was looking forward to going to jail because he knew that was the only way that he could get clean at that point.
Wow. That must have been a really difficult thing to hear and to watch.
Yeah, it was like an outer body experience because it's a bit surreal when you see it. But then you also see the people right there in front of you and the pain they're in. And they weren't like, they were lovely lads. Like, I'd have nothing but goodness to say about them.
Yeah, just talking there about the needle exchange and all the work you do at Alex's Adventures. Do you think we've had such an archaic approach to the drug problems in this country so far?
Yeah, I mean, I get people don't want needle exchange next to their house, but it is something that will save people. At the end of the day, we have to remember that nobody decides when they're 5 years old, I'd love to be addicted to X, Y, and Z. I'd love to grow up and live on the streets. it's, you know, life circumstances. There's so many reasons why somebody might use. And for us then to treat it as like a really bad criminal offence when it's actually a health issue. The person is ill, you know, but we don't look at it that way, unfortunately. So models like outside of Ireland, like Portugal, like other harm reduction stances, they're doing phenomenal. So it's something we really need to consider, because sweeping it under the rug just kills more people.
Can you elaborate on that? Just the places like Portugal, what their approach is?
Yeah, their approach is basically they decriminalized. Mm. So it's different to legalizing. And I think people sometimes get the lines blurred. When you decriminalize drugs, you decriminalize the the conviction on the person. So you're not punishing the person by putting them through a cycle of jail and back out into society. And it just goes round and round. They actually use all that money that they save to access people like the lads that I would have met who are on the fringes of society, who wouldn't really necessarily come into addiction centres or who might not know how to get help, and bring them into society and treat the issue at the cause through counselling, through treatment centres, through programmes. And they really make change and help people, you know.
Yeah, and like people, you said, like a 5-year-old doesn't want to be an addict when they're older. This is not something that they want to do, but it can happen so easily. And as you mentioned, Connor there, who we had on the show, you know, as simple as trying something at a party or, you know, at a graduation when you're 17 can have devastating effects. I just got a text in. It says, Jen, so sad, but it's so important to talk about this. I have a family member who was addicted to cocaine. He's clean now 3 years, but I actually have anxiety thinking that other family members will try drugs. So my question to you, Nicole, how can anyone listening, parents, family members, sisters, brothers who have maybe teenagers, young adults in their life, how can they help or get involved with Alex's adventures? Where do they go?
They go to the website, which is alexsadventure.ie. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm everywhere. And just for parents and, you know, family members, because they sometimes get forgotten in the process. Like, you know, a lot of the time, parents have a lot of the work done. They just don't realize it. You know, like, start that conversation early. When you're giving your child medicine, explain why they get medicine, for instance. You know, that there is medicine for specific things. As they grow older, they're going to listen to you more. So keep that line of communication open, because once they go into teenage years, it's all about their friends. Mm. Their parents don't matter. You know, they don't know anything. And parents need to educate themselves about substances as well, because, you know, it shifts and it changes so, so quickly. Young people can get drugs anywhere. You can get it on Instagram super easy, on Snapchat. It evolves too, you know, so educate yourselves and
know what's out there. Yeah, know what's out there and how to deal with it. Again, congratulations on your Pride of Cork Award. You're doing phenomenal work. I really admire what you do and after everything you've been through. And thanks for coming on the show again.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Nicole. I'll talk to you soon. That is Nicole Ryan. I just want to thank her again for her time. She's a busy woman. She's doing a lot of good work in this country. And as she said there, for more information, head along to the website alexsadventure.ie. Educate yourself. Educate the people in your life. Know what's out there, how these kids are getting their hands on it, and what to do if they do get their hands on it. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.